Without Jerry McInerney, we would have won 10 games this year. Okay? Not 10.
DeVito, pop pass, end zone, touchdown, and the ball game. DeVito, in relief, wins it for the Orange.
They don't know about the kumbaya meetings we had this week.
Swing into this. It is over. The Boston Red Sox, baseball's best all season long. They have won it all.
The Bills make me wanna shout.
Josh Allen, touchdown Buffalo. A 14-yard quarterback draw.
Somebody in Vegas told them they were going to win by 20.
And a celebration begins.
This is On the Block.
Right, you know, there's validity in that opinion.
Here's X-Men.
ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, ESPN Radio Utica Rome, heard on 96.5 FM, heard wherever you are on the ESPN app, seen wherever you are, and heard on Twitch, twitch.tv/QSportsTalk, to be specific. Hello, Twitchers. Great to have you on board. Don't forget the Twitch experience of this program where you can watch the show. You can see here into the inner sanctum. You can see what's happening during commercial breaks. You can hear what's happening during commercial breaks because the mics are always on, two straight hours. When we're in a radio commercial, the friends on Twitch get to see and hear everything, the live chat throughout the show, so much happening. It's on twitch.tv/QSportsTalk. Hello, friends on Twitch. How is your Friday? Happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Oh, what a glorious day. Let's make up a day in the middle of February to increase sales of cards and flowers and all sorts of things. And if you don't oblige, then for some reason you're a bad husband, right? I mean, I'm not that stupid. I did get my wife a card. Let's not get crazy here. Like, as much as I fight the man on this. I still got my wife a card. She didn't get flowers or anything. She, you know what she got? She got a coffee card. Huh? Coffee. So I got my wife. Coffee. That's what she wants. Coffee. Something's going to die in 3 days. Anyway, if you're a longtime listener to this program, you know Valentine's Day is not my favorite day. I'm not the most romantic person in the world.
That's hot.
I'm willing to admit this. I'm just not. So happy Valentine's Day to all you crazy kids in love, though. We've got a great Friday show lined up for you heading into the weekend. And here's how you can make yourself a part of it, all you lovebirds. 437-7644 is the phone number. Brent Axe Media, Brent Axe Media on Twitter. The text line is 288-0644. If you're going to the Crunch game tonight, by the way, the Miracle on Ice night, get to see Ken Morrow, who we had on the program yesterday. It's also ESPN Syracuse night. And we had a great promotion. We're going to send a couple to the game. They get to sit in the Galaxy Media Suite. They get dinner at Shaughnessy's beforehand. These are going around the office today. Now, if you're watching on Twitch, I'll have to bring this up to the camera during one of the breaks because it's kind of small to see. But there's these terrific ESPN Syracuse Valentines that some of you at the Crunch game may get tonight featuring all of our great live hosts. But the feature is on the back, a terrific picture of Paulie and I. I mean, you just can't beat it. So Paulie and I did record a new episode of the We Get It podcast, which I believe is up or is shortly going to be up. It's a miracle. I actually tied Paulie down for 20 minutes to do his own podcast. That's at ESPN Syracuse on iTunes. Just subscribe there. But we've got a show to do here, and we are ready for it. And we are ready to hear from you at 437-7644, Brent Axe Media on Twitter, the text line 288-0644. Right here in this hour, John Desco, Syracuse lacrosse head coach, will join us, as he will every Friday throughout Syracuse lacrosse season. Let me remind you, by the way, that the John Desco show starts Tuesday night and will be on every Tuesday night through the lacrosse season here on ESPN Radio Syracuse. Now, Brian Higgins will be your host for that for most of them, but I will be hosting the first few John Desco shows here on ESPN Radio Syracuse, including Tuesday night. So make a date with that. You don't even have to bring flowers. Just bring your ears so you can listen to the show. We'll hear from Coach Desco coming up in a few minutes on Chase Scanlon's unbelievable debut. the four, count them four, Tuerthon Trophy nominees for this team, early thoughts on the team, a Nick Mellon injury update, and a preview of Saturday's game tomorrow against Bingo. Syracuse and Binghamton at the Dome. That's a 2 o'clock faceoff, by the way, which you'll hear over on Brostat TK99, and is right after the Syracuse basketball game. Hoops at noon, Lax at 2. You got to love it. Nice little Saturday lined up there. So we'll hear from Coach Desko coming up. We are going to hear from you throughout the show, certainly. We are going to talk Syracuse basketball. We're going to look at kind of a hodgepodge of things happening elsewhere in the sports world during Hot Takes, the XF. Oh, I'm sorry. I need to correct myself. Lacrosse is on K-Rock tomorrow. Thank you, Seth, for reminding me of that. So I'm assuming because of Syracuse basketball coverage. I should know these things. Know your job. Paulie's going to come in and yell at me now. Paulie never yelled at me once before the whole Buddy Boeheim topic came up, and I was compared to Buddy Boeheim because Buddy never gets yelled at, and I never get yelled at around here. Now it's Paulie's favorite thing to do. So because I screwed that up, he's going to come in and yell at me. So fantastic. But I should correct myself there. The lacrosse game, because of Syracuse basketball coverage on Brostat TK99, so the Lax game is over on Brostat K-Rock tomorrow. There you go. I corrected myself. It's a hodgepodge of things going on in sports this weekend. The NBA All-Star game, never anything that really gets my juices flowing. It's one of those things, like, I probably will not be in a position to watch it because I'm going to a wedding tomorrow, but if it's, like, on and I'm in front of it, I'll watch it. I don't go out of my way to watch the All-Star Saturday night or the game itself. The XFL is back. The Daytona 500s this weekend. It's kind of a lot of filler stuff. But there's some things to get into. We'll cover it in Hot Takes. But certainly we will start with Syracuse hoops. And I wrote a column about this, which was spawned. It was born from a great piece that Donna DeToto wrote on Syracuse.com. So when Elijah Hughes goes down the other night, doesn't play, tries to give it a go, obviously can't, when Syracuse plays NC State. Not only did we see Quincy Guerrier and Joe Girard step up in that game, you got a sense of what Syracuse basketball could look like in the future, next season, because it is all but certain, and I have no inside information on this. It's just kind of putting two and two together. Elijah Hughes is going to be 22 years old next month. Elijah Hughes is somebody that is showing that he could be a legit pro prospect, has the opportunity to get drafted, seems to be ready to move on to a pro career. And I would kind of put it in your head, I would kind of lock it down, as most of you have, that he's not going to be on this team next year. He's just going to kind of move on with his life and pursue a pro career, and we will wish him well if he chooses to do that. He wants to come back, he's certainly more than welcome, but I think you kind of do the math on that, he's not going to be around. So Donna does a great job kind of laying out, like, so if Quincy and Joe continue on the paths they're on, what we saw Tuesday night could be normal. Now, Joe's not going to score 30 points a game, but a dominant player inside, playing confidently, staying out of foul trouble, getting the putbacks, hitting the offensive rebounds, and in this case, Quincy Guerrier, of course. And with Joe, a guy that can score. Now, what was odd about Tuesday night's game was Joe hit 1 3-pointer. He tried 10 of them. He went 1 of 10, got good looks. And it was funny when we talked to Jim Boeheim yesterday, and I said, well, what are other teams doing to kind of hinder your three-point shooting? And Jim's answer was nothing. They're just not going down. That Buddy and Joe have gotten enough good looks from the outside, they just got to drop. Okay. So I read Donna's piece, and I thought about it, and I thought it was great. And then I sit down last night to write a column. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I sit at that laptop, and I'm not quite sure what I'm going to write. There are other times I know exactly what I'm going to write. I got it in my head, I sit down, boom, 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 it's done. And there's other nights where you kind of want to get a feel of what would be a, you know, you don't want to write something too early. What's a good feel of what's happening on that Friday? And it was either a really corny thing about Valentine's Day, or I'm going to follow up the sequel that Donna didn't even know was coming to her piece. But the tone of my piece was, that's great that what we saw on Tuesday was a glimpse into the future. Now that Elijah's hurt and his status is uncertain, and last night, on this show and on his show, Jim Boeheim said, like, this is a day-to-day thing. It's going to be a game-time decision when it comes to Elijah Hughes. I'm going to operate under the assumption, and I understand what the first three letters of that word are, but I'm not Dr. X. I just play one on the radio. I think I'm pretty safe in saying that Elijah Hughes is not going to be the usual 38, 39-minute bulldog that he has been all year long. The type of injury he has, you don't just brush aside. This isn't a hangnail that they clipped and he'll be ready to go. Like, that's a groin injury that slows your lateral movement. It slows your shot, your follow through, the push off from your legs. Like, that's a tricky injury to fight through. So I'm going to operate under the assumption that if he is cleared to play, that he is going to be limited and he's not going to be his usual self. And that's a player that Syracuse counts on. This has been the Jim Boeheim way forever. That if you're a star on this team, if you're just a solid contributor, let alone a star, here are six or seven guys, and we're going to ride them to the bone. They're going to play 36, 37, 38 minutes a game, use the natural timeouts that come during a game to get rest, and go from there. So that leaves Buddy Boeheim in a position where he's more of a number one guy. Florida State is a really good defensive team. They're known for their offense. They're known for their athleticism, but they also average 9 steals a game. So not only does that put who I'm going to focus on here in a second, Joe Girard, squarely in the spotlight, it puts Buddy in the spotlight. Because what we saw Tuesday night was, okay, well, Elijah's out. Let's put our best defender on Buddy. And he didn't handle it well. And teams are starting to pay a heck of a lot more attention to him defensively anyway, so he's not going to get those usual open looks and screens. He's got to fight for those shots. He's going to get worn down a little bit more. Okay. So who's next in the pecking order here? Well, it's Joe Girard, and it's Quincy Guerrier. So the point of my column today is, and the point I'm making to you now here on the radio is, the future is now. There is a point in time when freshmen become sophomores, sophomores become juniors. It's almost inaccurate what their roster status is. You grow up as a player. You can just kind of see that player take a next step. I thought we really saw it with both Joe and Quincy Tuesday night. And now that we know the severity of Elijah Hughes' injury, which again, to be fair, is unknown, but unknown can be bad, right? If he was fine, if it was nothing major as he tweeted, then either leaving this way up in the air so Florida State doesn't get a sense of it and Elijah comes out and dominates Saturday, or he's taking it easy and that literal day-to-day, one day at a time, let's see how it goes kind of thing. So this is the moment for Joe and Quincy. Now, I'm not saying Joe's got to score 30 again, but it's pretty incredible how he found his way into the paint, scored, got 30 points, got to the free throw line 12 times, hitting 11 out of 12, didn't hit but one three-pointer. How Quincy certainly took advantage of Funderburk and Bates being out for NC State, but had 16 and 10 instead of foul trouble. They show the players they can be. If Syracuse is going to make a run here, if they're going to beat Florida State tomorrow and beat Louisville next week, Joe and Quincy, growing up before our very eyes, shedding the freshman labels and becoming sophomores, staying out of foul trouble, Joe shooting better from three-point range, avoiding some of the pitfalls they've fallen into. That's how Syracuse is going to stay in this conversation. Now, on the Jim Boeheim show last night, here's Jim on how shooting is key to Guerrier's future.
Well, he's getting a lot off the offensive boards. He made two really good post moves, but a couple times he made drives and he kind of just threw it up. He's still learning how to finish moves. That's something where he works on every day. But a lot of stuff he gets off the glass. He's so physical. But his offensive game is developing. The main problem is he's a good three-point shooter, has been all his life, and he has not made it this year in the games. And he really, you know, he shoots them in practice, and he really hasn't made them that much in practice. You know, it'd be one thing if he was making them in practice every day, and then you just say, well, you can't make them in games. But he really hasn't made them yet. His form is good. It's a mystery almost to me why he struggles shooting the ball so much. So I just think it's something that this year, we just kind of keep going, and maybe it'll come, maybe not, but really hoping that by next year he'll make that. If he can't make an outside shot, everybody just stays off him. And so he can't drive. That's his, the key to his future.
Think of the weapon he'll be when that three-point shot catches up to him at this level. That's the Donna article thinking ahead to next year. My point is, okay, that's not there now, so you do what you do best right now, which is be that. You don't want to be a bull in a china shop in the sense that you're knocking things over and not doing things right, but a fierce presence down low that is getting those putbacks that Jim said, that is getting rebounds, that's facilitating, that is someone you've got to guard and you've got to respect. Yeah, you leave him when he's away from the basket, but the closer he gets to it, the more you've got to think about him. The way Florida State plays, how they come at you in waves, 10 guys averaging double digit minutes, right? This is, to me, and I'll go over this more later in the show, this is the worst kind of team Syracuse can play right now, in a sense. A team that's really good at home, and I know Syracuse has been good on the road in this league, but Florida State's really good at home. Your best player is at the very least limited. They go really deep. They're really athletic. When they get cooking on offense, they're hard to keep up with. So I think Syracuse is going to have to kind of muddy the waters. They're going to have to play a slow pace. They're going to have to try and slow down this Florida State team and take advantage of the offensive chances that are there, because I don't think they can run with this team. I don't think they can run with this team if Elijah was 100%. You got to figure out a different way. You got to muck it up a little bit out there. It's going to be a really tough game, and it's one Syracuse really needs. Like, this is the season. If they don't beat Florida State and Louisville, I think now winning the ACC tournament is your only way in. And I say that with a bit of an asterisk, because college basketball is so darn weird this year that you can't write anything in pen. You kind of have to see how it plays out. But one thing that I know right now, and will be the same thing on Selection Sunday, about a month from today, is Syracuse needs wins. They do not have anything sparkly and shiny on their resume. Maybe you're going to propose to your girlfriend tonight, your significant other, and you got a nice sparkly ring you can't wait to put on her finger. Syracuse doesn't have that on their resume. Florida State and Louisville, game changers if somehow they can win these games, starting with tomorrow's game. And they're both nightmare matchups. More Florida State, I think, than Louisville. Louisville's kind of vulnerable. Lost to Georgia Tech. There is a path to victory there. Florida State, if they win this game, boy, I will just, you know, I will bow before Boeheim and say I'm not worthy if they find a way. Because this team, Florida State's lost a few games, but most of them to good teams. They've lost three games. And Duke and Louisville are two of those games. And just the way they play, how deep they are, how athletic they are, their style, it takes a lot to throw a monkey wrench in front of Florida State in their spokes. Can Syracuse do it when there is still a team that their three-point shooting is backed off and their defensive efficiency still ranks around 140 right now? And now add in your star player is, at the very least, limited. That's a tall order tomorrow. But weirder things have happened. We shall break on that note. We will come back. We will talk some lacrosse with the head coach, who will join us every Friday throughout lacrosse season here on ESPN Radio Syracuse. John Dasko coming up. Stay right there. You're on the block. ESPN Radio and twitch.tv/QSportsTalk.
This is On the Block with Brent Axe.
Welcome back. Stone's still rocking it, man. Announced their tour this week. Kind of been there, done that. I wasn't interested this time. But God bless them. They're still doing it. On the Block's presented by Skinny Atlas Jewelry. That would have been a great place to go, you know, before today for Valentine's Day. But if you're a last-minute Valentine's Day person like me, well, they're open. So
What are you watching?
Holy crap. It's like two Seth doppelgangers.
What are you watching?
So J-Rock put this video up in studio. Even the people on Twitch can't see it because the screen is turned the other way.
That guy doesn't look like me. That guy looks just like you. That guy does.
Who is this? Chris Prather. Who? Chris?
This guy doesn't. You said it's two.
Wow.
That guy does.
Holy
Especially with my
cow.
New glasses. Especially with the new squared
right.
off glasses
you
I've got.
You need to Google this. For those of you that are in a position to do this, don't do it if you're driving or anything. There is a professional bowler. His name is Chris Prather.
Look at this. Turkey in the 10th frame. Yeah.
That is your doppelganger.
I crushed it.
Are you
Look
sure
at me.
Are you sure you are
I can bowl at 280. Look at that.
I have seen you next to your parents, and you look like your parents, but I'm now thinking maybe you were found on the side of the road.
I look more like my dad. And by more like, I mean exactly like.
That is scary. That is
I can bowl at 280, so it's not a big deal.
Thank you, J-Rock. You can't bowl at 280. Stop it.
Hey, how do you know?
Because I know this.
How do you know?
You can't
bowl. How do you know I can't?
I will give you $100 if you can document that you can bowl at 280. How about that?
Sure. I mean, I can't, but how did you know I couldn't?
Because I know. I know people.
I haven't gone bowling in years. Maybe I can bowl at 280 now.
It's time for the Blind Side.
It's presented by our friends at Burdick Toyota. Holy crap, that guy looked just like you.
Maybe he has a RAV4 also.
Maybe he does. Maybe he got it at Burdick Toyota. You never know. They've got great lease deals now at burdicktoyota.com or stop in Driver's Village, Cicero, get your sweetie a new Toyota. Maybe the great fuel economy of the Corolla, the sheer power and towing capacity of the Toyota Tundra, whatever it is. Go see our friends at Burdick Toyota. You may fire when ready.
Will
whoever
Elijah,
you are.
Will Elijah Hughes play tomorrow?
I am going to say no.
Ooh.
I'm getting that feeling. I don't think we're going to see him tomorrow. I think they're trying everything they can. They're going to go through warm-ups, and they're going to decide maybe we shouldn't push this. By the way, I have no inside info on that. That's just that's an educated guess on my part.
Have you seen athletes call out other athletes the way people are calling out the Astros?
Oh, no. And they should be. Trevor Bauer, Cody Bellinger. Who did I see for the Yankees that was pretty pointed in their comments?
Well, the fact that Masahiro Tanaka said anything is pretty surprising.
Yeah, that's pretty surprising.
Aroldis Chapman, Gary Sanchez both said some stuff,
for
too.
For those of you that say, they didn't punish any of the players, right? Their punishment is going to come every day. When they go to visiting stadiums, when players keep getting asked about this, the embarrassment, the shame.
Unofficial blindside question.
That will come from this is their punishment.
Unofficial blindside question.
All right.
Will either Jose Altuve or Alex Bregman break the record for most hit by pitches in a season?
If I could bet on that in Vegas, I'm taking the over. How about that?
Back to the official one. Should baseball go back and punish the Astros more after seeing UEFA kick Manchester City out of the Champions League for 2 years?
Now, why did they get kicked out? I saw
that
story.
They spent some money when they weren't supposed to, is my gist. Like, there's only a couple of windows where you're allowed to go sign free agents, and, like, they had deals done outside of that.
I don't think that's why you should go punish the Astros again. But it's what I just said. They broke European financial regulations, J-Rock is telling me.
Okay.
Oh,
that's,
how dare you.
That's what it is.
No, it's what I said. The bigger punishment to me comes in the shame. It comes in your botched apology. It comes in what opposing fans are going to do and the creative ways that they're going to be mocked. They've lost the respect of their fellow players, right? Like, that's all worse than anything Rob Manfred can hand out.
And by the way, they don't play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium until the last week of the year.
Seriously?
The last series of the season is at Yankee Stadium.
Now, that could be like a build-up to it.
So this is going to last all year long.
If the Astros are good again.
All year long.
Oh, boy.
All year. Does any of your Syracuse basketball analysis matter if Elijah Hughes does not play?
Yes. Sure it does.
Sure?
My analysis always matters.
That's not what I meant. I didn't mean offense to you.
How dare you take shots at me, sir?
It was okay.
But no, I know what you're saying. In general, it is kind of two different teams.
Right. That's what I meant.
And even if he plays, he's not 100%. Like, you just don't recover from that injury. If I'm wrong, I will be the first person to line up Monday and say I'm wrong. But it almost doesn't matter.
Last one. If A-Rod and J-Lo buy the Mets on their own, who is majority owner?
Oh, it's J-Lo.
J-Lo's got so much more money.
Now, do we know this? I mean, A-Rod made some big bucks.
No, come on.
A-Rod made $25 million a year for how long?
For more than a decade. He signed two deals that got him over $500 million alone. J-Lo's got so much more money.
Are you sure about that?
Come on.
Are you guessing or sure about this?
I'm fairly certain. Now, the story I saw, I think drastically undershot both of them. It said that A-Rod's net worth is $350 million. and that J-Lo's net worth is $400 million. I don't know how that's even possible, considering A-Rod brought in almost $600 million in playing contracts.
Right.
Did he lose money, though, when
well,
he got suspended?
Well, he got divorced. And he got divorced.
He got divorced, so half of some of it. Okay. But A-Rod's has to be higher, and J-Lo's is higher than A-Rod. There's no doubt. No doubt. They both have pricey divorces, to
Thank
be fair.
You for loading. We get it, by the way.
You're welcome.
Because if Seth got it, we get it. But even if he did get it, we get it. It's impossible that he got we get it because he never gets we get it.
I don't know, third base.
Who's on first? Back after this.